Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, to a very special episode of ASO Radio happening live at Anime Banzai 2007. We've got some people that are listening to us right here as we record, and it is very special to be here. We have lots of things planned for this special event, including the usual stuff and maybe something special. But for now, we're going to go ahead and get on to the anime news. Well, there's a lot of interesting things that are actually happening, including Comcast making anime more widely available, or at least a talk show about anime. Bang Zoom Entertainment announced that Comcast will offer the first season of Bang Zoom's anime TV talk show on video demand starting September 4th. Anime TV covers the North American anime industry and fandom with reviews, interviews, and event coverage. Evangelion 1.0 International premiere announced. Evangelion 1.0, You Are Not Alone, the movie, Gainax's reinterpretation of the Neon Genesis Evangelion TV series, has been selected as the closing feature of this year's Busan International Film Festival. This will be the first time the film, which opens in Japan on September 1st, will be shown in another country outside of Japan. Sazae-san is the last TV anime that uses cells, not computers, for its animation. Sazae-san is now the last Japanese animated television series that uses layers of transparent plastic film known as cell art instead of computers for its production. One of the remaining holdouts in the past, Chibi Maruko-chan replaced physical cells with computers in 1999, and Doraemon did the same in 2002. Studio Ghibli, Sunrise, Toya Animation, and most veteran studios switched during the 1990s, while newer companies such as Gonzo and Satellite have been using computers for painting and digital composition since their inception. Most studios consider traditional cell animation to be ill-suited to the era of high-definition imagery for several reasons, including vibrations and slight movements that can be seen between frames, static electricity that can cause dust to appear on the cells, and too many cell layers can cause the lower cell layers to appear blurry and less saturated in color. However, Toichi Tanaka, a department head at Aiken, the main studio behind Sazae-san, said that some of those points are actually advantageous. The subtle flickering of lines adds warmth to the images. It gives the viewers a sense of familiarity and security. The people who are capable of drawing cell artwork grow fewer as they get older. Aiken and 3 to 4 other companies employ 120 people to handle the cells of Sazae-san, but 20 to 30% of the artwork is drawn in China. Manufacturer Taiyo Shikisai once made 20 million yen, about 200,000 a month, from cell paints at its peak, but now makes 500,000 yen a month, which is approximately $5,000. Taiyo Shikisai head Shigeji Kitamura said, "It is the culture of Japan. We want to continue making the paints even if that cuts into our profits." Also, we've got something interesting happening in the U.S. based upon something which happened long ago in Japan. Playwright Natsu Onoda is writing and directing a play based on 3 short manga stories by Osamu Tezuka. The 3 manga she is adapting, none of which have ever been translated into English, are Daishogan Mori Iyuki, The Great General Goes to the Forest, Seinaru Hiroba, Sacred Plaza, and Tenteki March. According to Onoda, all 3 are modern folktales that interweave motifs from traditional Japanese mythology with the reality and memory of World War II. The play entitled Trees and Ghosts will feature a variety of unusual elements such as interactive video, live on-stage drawing, and live taiko drums. It will premiere on November 8th at the Gonda Theater on the campus of Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. Performances will be held until November 17th, and tickets can be purchased through the Georgetown box office. Also, the winners for the Kodansha Manga Contest have been announced. Japanese publishing Kodansha formally announced the winners of the grand prize and 2 runner-up awards in their Morning International Manga Contest. The contest was formally launched by Kodansha earlier this year in recognition of the 25th anniversary of their popular weekly manga Morning. The competition received applications from artists in 11 countries. The first runner-up, or second prize, went to Nigiri Superhero, a sushi-themed superhero action tale by Leo Ming Law of the United Kingdom. The second award went to the fantasy manga Verferin by Hui Lim of Malaysia. The winners of the grand prize, Rem and Bikuri from the United States, won with the title Kage no Matsuri. Their series will be published and featured on the front cover of Morning 2 in October. Kodansha previously disclosed this to the public through flyers distributed at San Diego Comic-Con. The grand prize winner will also receive $5,000. The two second-place winners will receive $2,000 each. Kodansha has set up a website that includes the list of winners, details about their work, and a statement by the Eijiro Shimada, the chief judge of the contest. And Japan's Sky Perfect TV will air 23 Gundam productions in October to celebrate the release of Gundam 00. Japan's Sky Perfect TV satellite television provider will hold a Gundam festival in which five of its channels will air almost every Gundam anime work in October. This special programming will run on Perfect Choice Skyper SkyChan 32, Animax, Family Theater, TBS Channel and Channel Neko between October 1st and 31st for 999 yen, which is about $8.70. The 23 titles range from the first Mobile Suit Gundam to Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Destiny and the recent Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam movie trilogy. The latest Gundam series, Mobile Suit Gundam 00, will premiere on October 6th on the terrestrial broadcasting affiliates of Mainichi Broadcasting. Noticeably missing from the Gundam Festival lineup are any SD Gundam works, G Gundam, Gundam Wing, and its Endless Waltz sequel, the specially format movies including Gundam the Ride, Green Divers, G Savior, Gundam Evolve, and the GS Iglo works, and 2006's Gundam Seed CE-73 Stargazer web broadcast. Well, that does it for the anime news, but of course that doesn't do it for ASO Radio because we have a bunch of anime reviews coming up next. We have several things to review this episode, so we might as well get to them as quickly as possible, because we're going to be reviewing the last two discs in Kino's Journey, we're going to be reviewing yet another entry in Kodocha, and we're going to be reviewing the series Suzuka. And I gotta say that most of these weren't all that super, but they sure were worth watching. First of all, Kino's Journey. Of course, this is the tale of Kino and his motor rat Hermes, who travel across the country in order to go, well, I should say across the world, to visit several different countries. Their only rule, they stay at only one location for 3 days before moving on to the next country in their journey. Well, the last two DVDs of this series kind of seemed to have the feeling that they needed to go and finish things up. We got hints towards Kino's master, who taught her how to shoot her pistol, and also a little bit of additional information about her past. This also saw the end of a city by an explosion of a volcano, which was a rather sad episode, but helped to tie the series together nicely. All in all, the last two volumes had a couple of episodes that didn't really feel worthwhile. One was rather confusing, but all in all, still worth watching to get to the end of the series. However, sadly, this series is only 13 episodes in length, and it really felt like they could do a lot more. But putting these together, episodes 8 through 13, I think that it deserves a recommended because of a couple of hiccups, but it's still well worth watching. Our next review is of Kodocha, a great anime series for people of all ages, even though its intended audience seems to be kids, because it tells the very soulful existence of Sana, a child TV star, who is on the popular children's show Child's Toy. This episode features more of the same craziness from her, her mother with her strange hats, her manager Ray, and of course all of the kids that we love from the elementary school getting into their usual stuff. Nothing was extraordinary about these new episodes, volumes 25 through 28, but they were still an enjoyable romp, and I was glad to watch them, even though some of the things can feel a little bit predictable. So Kodocha, episodes 25 through 28, also gets recommended. Third on our reviews is Suzuka. Now, I have to say, before we actually get into the review of Suzuka, that I did not like this show at all in the beginning. I felt it was boring, trite, and that it wasn't going to go anywhere worthwhile. But actually, once you got a few episodes into it, it did seem to show quite a lot of promise. It comes off feeling as one of those cheap dating games that are so prevalent in Japan, but actually builds a little into it. The first episode sees us meeting the main character, who is suffers from bouts of sleep. See, he can't control it, but he'll occasionally drift off into a slumber that can last anywhere from a few minutes to several days. Well, one of these bouts of sleep saw him sleep for much too long. Or maybe I'm getting my series confused. It's been a while. But anyways, he has a crush on this girl who gives him a lot of attitude, and it's just not that great in the beginning. However, things start to perk up a bit, start to get past all the little stereotypes and the cheap feel of things, and it starts to come into it a bit. So I'm a bit drawn on whether to give this a neutral or a recommended rating. However, I think Suzuka, at least the first volume, is more in neutral territory than recommended territory, and so I'm going to give this one a neutral. And I'm going to go ahead and throw in an extra bonus review. This one is of Panny Pony Dash. Essentially, imagine somebody saw Excel Saga and said to their company, let's go and make an Excel Saga of our own. Let's just make things a little bit different. This actually uses some of the same English voice actors as the original Excel Saga, and so it really helps drive home that feeling. Essentially, we have a short little girl of 11 years old who's incredibly brilliant and has already graduated from MIT. She comes to Japan, since, of course, in these shows, the character has to be half Japanese and half some other ethnicity. Well, she comes to Japan to go and teach 10th grade girls. Well, of course, the girls are in opposition to a teeny tiny teacher and go and give her a hard time of it, but then feel bad and cope, help her cope just to go and tease her again. This series relies on random humor to try and come off as off the wall, but sometimes it feels too forced and confusing to really be enjoyable, whereas Excel Saga had a more deliberate pace and helped keep it both zany but understandable. There are many times in Panny Pony Dash where things get just too overwhelming because it just doesn't stay consistent enough. It's essentially, if you like, we'll say, not necessarily black humor, but cruel humor, because most of it comes from the teasing of the main character or the melancholy of her rabbit follower. All in all, Pony Pony Dash is just for those sort of people that like a bit darker humor, and so I didn't enjoy it that much. All in all, while it was an okay show, I felt myself more bored than anything, and of course it makes gratuitous use of fan service in order to try and get better ratings. All in all, Pony Pony Dash may be worth a rental, but not much more than that, so I'm going to give it a rating of neutral. So now, of course, it's my favorite portion of the program, the fan mail section. Now, we're here live at Anime Banzai, and so, of course, we have people that are listening here and maybe some that will participate in the fan mail, but first we're going to read an email from DB3, subject Africa's Anime. DB3 writes, so I was looking at Anime News Network, and they were reporting on a story in which Sony is taking an anime channel to Africa. Now, don't get me wrong, I can understand Africans wanting to have their share of anime, but why? I mean, Africa isn't known for being one of the richest places in the world. How many Africans in Africa actually own televisions? Sure, the market may seem wide and open, but when there are so many people here in the United States who would like an affordable anime channel, you have to stop and wonder why. Well, I just wanted to rant a little. Thanks for the show, NZ17. It is great as always. Well, thank you for writing in, DB3, and hearing from our fans is great as always. So if you would like to go and send in fan mail to Acer Radio, be sure to visit the website at www.nz17.com/anime and click on the fan mail link. You'll find a handy form there so you can let us hear your comments, questions, criticisms, and any other Q or C starting words that you would like to send our way. To answer your question, though, DB3, there's actually a surprisingly large number of South Africans who quite enjoy the wonderful world of anime. As a matter of fact, one of the earliest anime magazines was started in South Africa. So while most of Africa, as far as the continent is concerned, is quite impoverished, South Africa has a large upper and middle class, and thus an anime channel there is quite welcome. Besides, after going and having two different anime channels here in America, both one by ADV and the other by Funimation, I think South Africa deserves to have an anime channel. Although, of course, I wouldn't mind if Sony decided to open a third anime channel here in the States. Well, anyways, right now we're a bit low on live listeners, but that's A-okay. Would you mind coming over here for just a minute, sir, and just proving that we actually have a live audience? This is...
My name's Eric.
And Eric, is this your first convention?
No, I'm actually a member of the anime club that is part, programming this convention.
Well, you want to go ahead and plug your anime club?
End of the World Japanese Animation Club in Salt Lake City, Utah. They've been around for about 10 years, and I've been going, 7 years, maybe.
And what's the website if people want to find out more?
Well, Anime Bonsai has its own domain, animebonsai.com. I honestly don't know what the web address is for the club.
All right, well, that's A-okay. Hey, go ahead and grab one of our ASO Radio flyers. We're going to be handing these out in the dealer's room later as well. Tells a bit about the show, and, of course, at the bottom has our website, so you can check out both our current and all of our past episodes. Actually, I'd like to announce now on this fan mail section that I am undertaking a new project which is related to ASO Radio. It's actually going to be called something along the lines of Project Revival. I don't want to say too much about it, but let's just say that you might be hearing a lot of ASO Radio's old and perhaps forgotten episodes being brought to the website. Well, let's see. What else do we have here? If you wouldn't mind me asking, what are some of the great things that you've seen so far here at Anime Bonsai? As he approaches.
I've actually been stuck in the viewing room for most of the morning running that. We had some technical difficulties, so that was kind of a headache, but I didn't mind so much. Glad to be here. I did a panel a moment ago, and I think our dealer room is really great. I'm probably going to hold off spending too much until tomorrow, but I definitely need to pick up some swag.
It's always a great idea to hit up the dealer's room, but there's two sides to the coin, of course. If you wait until the last day, during the last hours, you can get some great deals, but on the other hand, all the good stuff's been picked through and taken, so you got to go and take what you get. Well, anyways, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the fan mail section. I would like to thank the audience members for coming, and of course our friend here who's been running the viewing room and the panels for going and participating in Acer Radio's live episode. Okay, so of course this is the hotspot portion of ASO Radio, which is where we pick a random thing, or as random as it seems, to go and do on the show. This time we're going to be reviewing a manga by the name of Yotsuba, which is about a little girl. Now, if you're familiar with Azumanga Daioh, as you well should be if you're versed enough, this is by the same creator, and I have to say, after seeing both of them, I much prefer Yotsuba over Azumanga Daioh, because unlike that one, which features a large classroom full of high school girls which seem much too vapid for their age, Yotsuba is actually about a young girl, possibly about 6 or 8 years old, even four now that I think about it, but probably six, who's experiencing the world as a young child would, but she herself is a bit of a weird child and has an unconventional father. Well, this leads to various crazy yet mundane adventures, such as catching cicada and going to the park and other things, and of course meeting new neighbors. It's funny because the neighbors have three daughters, one's about 10 or 12, the other's about 16, and the other's 18 or 20. And of course, the youngest one's quite cute, the oldest one is the beautiful mature sister, and the young one is the one that gets overlooked by people because they're always saying whether the young one is cute or whether the older one is beautiful. But quite frankly, I think that she's the best, most rounded one out of the three. So there's a there's an event I'd like to mention where actually they go cicada hunting with Yotsuba and her father's friend, and they bring a whole bunch home. Well, Yotsuba, being the mischievous yet innocent girl that she is, lets out all the cicadas inside her neighbor's house. And of course, the mother gets quite freaked out by all these large beetles being all over the walls and everywhere, and so they spend several hours trying to catch them all again. Yotsuba is both charming and funny, and it's delightful, although maybe a bit too lighthearted for some more gruff and tough people out there. However, I quite enjoyed it, and I'm going to give Yotsuba a highly recommended. It may be not quite our usual highly recommended, but I liked it too much to go and give it anything less. Well, before we go and wrap things up here at Anime Banzai 2007, and of course we covered Anime Banzai 2006, so if you want to listen to the live episode of that, or check out our pictures, be sure to go to nz17.com to check out all that stuff. Pictures are in the Artist Alley. Well, we're going to take some questions from our audience members about ASO Radio, or just about anything they want to ask us, including series we've seen and thoughts on various developments of the anime and manga industries. So we'll go ahead and take your question. You don't need to come over here. I'll just repeat it for people listening, not live. How long have we been around? We've been around since 1999, actually, I believe August of 1999. We've been doing it off and on since then. We took about 2 years off, starting in I believe it was 2001, and started up again at 2003. We're actually on the 119th episode of ASO Radio, and so this would be our 10th season of the show. Yes, podcasting only really came about, I'd say, late 2004 is when it got started. And once it got integrated into iTunes, podcasting really shut off. So Acer Radio predates podcasting by several years, but unfortunately this means that we get buried in all the new podcasts that come out there. But there's so many that show up, do a few episodes, and then just disappear that it's really advantageous, I think, of people to find a long-running show and listen to that. Well, the motivation is actually twofold. One is that my fellow co-hosts, who unfortunately are not right here right now, T-Man777 and DB3 and Z-Guy, we wanted to start an anime club at our high school. Went through all the procedures, all the paperwork, had everything ready. Then we were told that the application had to be reviewed. And so we waited and waited, and it took 3 months for them to come back and get to us and say, no, we're not going to do it because we don't want to review the things you're going to be showing in advance. Which seemed quite strange that they would say that, since they had a book club and books take much longer to read than DVDs take to watch. And none of those books were being screened for what was in them, so that seemed very curious. So I was, of course, upset about this. We all were, after waiting 3 months, thinking of all these things we were going to do with the club. So instead, a few months later, I went, you know, there's a few other anime talk radio programs out there. There's, of course, the long-running Anime Radio and the now-defunct Otaku Radio. And I thought, boy, these shows really suck. They're supposed to be about anime, but they're not focused at all. They go all over the place, have too many hosts, and they hardly talk about anime at all. They talk about their personal lives and this and that, and look what happened at the mall. I could do a lot better than this. So I got together with my friends, and we went and did, well, I did the first episode. They weren't able to make it, so the first episode is only 9 minutes of me, and it may have been longer if I had more to talk about or a larger hard drive, since space is at a premium back then. So the first episode lasted only 9 minutes, but later episodes started getting longer and longer, and I think the longest one we ever did was actually 2.5 hours in length. So it's been a lot of fun over the years with the various co-hosts and all the things that we've done. But in the early days, a lot of our episodes are missing because the hard drive space was so expensive that I had to delete a lot of games and other files to go and make space to record the show, which is a shame because now those episodes are more or less lost forever. But we do have some older episodes, which I hope to make available someday on the website. So yeah, basically wanted to start a club but couldn't, and the other show sucked, so I started Acer Radio. Any other questions out there?
Okay, so you talk about anime and manga a lot. How do you feel about manga and anime? Like, in the past year or so, I mean, is it holding up, and are you excited about it?
There's a couple of things that I'm excited to see that's come out in the past couple years. As far as it compares to older things, I really feel that up until about the mid-90s, like we'll say the 80s to the mid-90s, was really the golden period of anime, because there were so many things coming out of so many different varieties, and a lot of it was really high quality, but of course hand-drawn, so it had a much different feel to it than all of today's computer-animated shows, both the ones that use 3D computer imagery and the ones that simply use computers to paint and do the in-between cells. As far as the ones in the last year, though, there's a couple that I'm looking forward to, a couple that I've actually put on my rental queue that I want to see, but unfortunately none of their titles come to mind at the moment. But, of course, several series that I'm in the middle of that I hope to finish one day, such as Kodocha, which is very long, or Maiseni Kaku, which is by the Romna One Half artist Rumiko Takahashi, who Acer Radio will actually be doing a panel about later. So yes, there's several things coming out, but none springs to mind right now. But the big one that everybody keeps talking about is The Melancholy of Haruki. And I've seen a little bit of preview of this, I've heard talk of it, and I think to myself it's more promotional than the show is actually worth seeing. Like, they're trying to really push it, but in the end it may not be as super as everybody is hoping it's going to be. I guess that's the answer in a long-winded way, which is why I do a radio show, because I'm so long-winded. Old school things that I like? Well, there's the original Vampire Hunter D, much better than Bloodlust, which came out a few years later. As far as plot goes, I liked the visual style better, but it was much more cheaply animated. Romna One Half is a great comedy series, also by Rumiko Takahashi. Maiseni Kaku, which I've mentioned before. Kodocha, very great. Back in the day, there wasn't much anime on TV. I was a really big fan of Sailor Moon, because unlike your average American cartoon, it actually had characterization where you could feel and understand each character and almost know what she would or he would say. And of course, the story continued from episode to episode, which is quite the rarity in a lot of American animation, and it just had a lot more quality feel to it. Now, I would say that it's higher quality or better, but some people might argue a Monster of the Week show about high school girls with superpowers may not exactly be high quality. Some other things, Fatal Fury, the best video game anime I've ever seen. Street Fighter 2V wasn't that great, but it's fun to watch through, especially to hear some earlier voice work by Vic Mignogna, who did the voice of Edward Elric in Full Metal Alchemist. Princess Nine, that's another really great older series, and another one I'd recommend is Metal Fighters Miku, which kind of imagine girls plus Mega Man plus wrestling in the future, and you kind of get an idea of what things are like. But we'll take one more question, and then we'll go ahead and wrap things up here, because it's just about time for the next panel to start setting up. Does anybody have any other questions they'd like to ask about Acer Radio or anything in general about anime? Perhaps our newest entrant might want to? I have reviewed Pokemon in the past. Are you talking about the manga, the anime, the games? At 4 o'clock, actually, there's going to be a panel at Anime Banzai about Pokemon. A lot of people are excited and looking forward to that. I anticipate they're going to have a lot of people in their audience.
Well, thanks. I'm very, very happy to hear that.
Well, you know what they say, you got to catch them all. Well, all right, that's going to go ahead and do it for episode 119 of ASO Radio. Of course, I'd like to thank everybody who stopped by. I especially would like to thank the people that did not merely just walk by the room, but actually stopped in it. They're the most special. And of course, I'd like to thank all of our longtime and new listeners who have found our website and have listened to this and perhaps our past episodes. So for episode 119 of ASO Radio, this is NZ17 signing out. And remember, the more anime you have, the more friends you can make.